Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me as always is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hi, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. Well, Aaron, I know last episode I mistakenly said we're out of the top 50 or bottom 50, however you want to say it.
But yeah.
This episode, we actually are exiting the bottom 50 of my top 500 favorite films of all time list.
It feels like a milestone, and then you say 500, and I'm like, oh, wait, we're not even...
We are this episode, we are 1/10 of the way through.
All right. How many hours of film are we consuming with each movie?
Let's assume 2 hours, or a few that have been longer, a few have been shorter. Let's assume two.
On average.
On average. So I would guess by the end of this series, we'll have seen just over... just over 1,000 hours.
Jesus. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot of films. So, as always, we're counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time. Just my personal favorites. What I enjoy. You know, what sparks joy in me. That's a dated reference already.
Hmm. Yeah. Which number are we at?
We are at number 451.
Okay.
A movie I know for a fact you have seen and enjoy.
God damn it.
Starting off, number 451, director John Lasseter's 1999 film, Toy Story 2.
I'm like, this is the first time I'm mad at you.
Why are you mad? Why are you mad?
Because it's so low on the list.
It is by far my least favorite Toy Story film.
That's fucking crazy. Oh, really?
Yeah, by far.
Why?
The first film has this real simple clarity to the story. It's just so smooth and buttery of a story. And this is just a little bit more complicated. The story isn't as clean, and it focuses so much on Woody.
Mm-hmm.
The first film had a lot of emphasis on Woody, but it was kind of balanced with it. Also a heavy emphasis on Buzz. And I think this is the first film that focuses so much on one character, and probably more so than any of the Toy Story films, it focuses on Woody, even more so than Toy Story 4, I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Yeah, Woody's wound up. It's all about him getting kidnapped, and it's all about him and getting him back. And
I look at the... I can't call him a trilogy anymore.
Series.
Series?
Let's say series.
Thank you. I look at the series as... Episode 1 is Andy. Episode 2 is Woody. Episode 3 is Andy. Episode 4 is Woody.
Sure, certainly Woody's the emphasis on 2 and 4.
Yeah.
And even 3 to a certain extent, and even 1 to a certain extent. He's the main character every one of the films, but certainly it feels more of an ensemble piece in 1 and 3.
Yes.
Which I like a little bit more, generally speaking. I won't get into where the other ones are. They're all on here, obviously. I just said this is my least favorite one.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's the one I forget the most exists. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm thinking about Toy Story, I think of the first one.
Yeah.
I think of the third one, surprisingly.
Huh.
Because the fourth one's more recent, I think of the fourth one. But there's other reasons why the fourth one, to me personally, I connect with. This one, it's just kind of there. It's good. It's well made,
mm-hmm.
Especially considering its origins. It was originally going to be a direct-to-DVD film, and they're like, yeah, it's better than that.
Yeah.
Let's give it the budget and time it needs. Well, not time. They had a set release date. They apparently had to really crunch to get it done. But let's give it the money and resources necessary. And it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's in my top 500. There are other movies I like very much that are not in my top 500.
Yeah. I guess I'm surprised that any Pixar movie would be this low.
We already got Bug's Life.
Yeah, but that doesn't
count.
That's a Bug's Life. That's a Bug's Life. Nobody remembers a Bug's Life.
I remember a Bug's Life.
Yeah, whatever. Either way, I understand where you're coming from. I guess I just disagree on a personal level.
That's fair. I mean, points I'll give it. I love Jessie. I like her as a character. I'm glad they introduced her here. That song.
The song. Oh.
Is great. It's maybe the best song in the Toy Story series.
Do they sing ever outside of that?
Well, I mean, each film has its own
moment,
song.
Yeah.
You got a friend of me, obviously. And that's the most famous one, obviously. But I think maybe the best one is that song that When I Love You or whatever it was.
She loved me.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
That's it. It's great. It's a great scene. It's a great song. And I love Jesse.
Very mature.
It is. It tugs at your heartstrings. So, I mean, I will give it that. That is why it's on my list. You take that away, I think it's a very fine film.
Okay. Number 400.
Okay, that was 451. Now, 450.
We did it.
Aaron.
We did it.
We made it through 50 films.
We did it.
And number 50 is an outright classic. An older film.
Okay.
But a classic nonetheless. I'm sure you've heard of it. Maybe even seen it. We'll see. Number 450 is director George Seaton's 1947 film, Miracle on 34th Street.
I have not seen it, and I know that's a Christmas film, right?
It is a Christmas film.
I get those mixed up. This isn't the one where the kid puts his tongue on the thing and you're gonna shoot your eye out.
That's a Christmas story.
Christmas story, and this isn't the one where a Wonderful Life, where he wants to kill himself, but he wishes
he's on a bridge.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so it's not that one where he wants to kill himself. Is Santa in it?
Santa, yes. It's about a man who believes he is Santa Claus.
Oh.
And there's the whole, and it leads up to a legal battle about, is this man Santa Claus?
I have heard of this.
Yeah.
And I know very little about it. So
it's got a great cast. Edmund Gwenn, who's in a film that was earlier on the list, Them, the giant ants movie that we didn't end up watching, but the one that you've probably already seen.
Yeah.
He's the scientist in that one. He's great, and he'll appear higher up on this list.
Nice.
He's in a lot of great movies. He was actually, I think he won an Oscar for supporting actor for this film. He's the one who plays
Old Saint Nick.
Yeah. Or the man who thinks he's Santa Claus, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen O'Hara is the leading actress. She's great. And a young Natalie Wood.
Is she hot?
I mean, she's very young in this. She's a child.
Oh, did she get hot eventually?
I mean, it feels kind of disrespectful considering.
Is she dead?
Oh, you don't know Natalie Wood, I guess.
I don't know Natalie Wood at all.
There was a sly reference to it in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, she died? She got killed?
She was the woman who mysteriously drowned on that boat with Christopher Walken and her husband.
Christopher Walken? Wait, which movies are we... Are you talking about...
I mean, he's not in the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but in real life.
What?
Natalie Wood, she died on that boat.
With Christopher Walken?
Yeah, and I can't remember her husband's name. Another famous actor. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank.
I did not know this.
Yeah. And, like, that scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was...
in reference to that?
Yeah.
Huh. Well...
And everyone's like, oh, that guy totally killed his wife, and Christopher Walken was there,
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, this is one of her earliest roles. She's a young woman in it, a child. I'm surprised. I
didn't know any of this information.
Okay, well, in case any of you out there didn't know who Natalie Wood was, I guess that's a likely possibility.
Yeah, no, I feel bad for all the jokes I was just making. I don't feel bad, but I feel bad, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
But she's the little girl. She's great. It's a very sweet Christmas film. There's a scene towards the beginning at the Thanksgiving, like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and they actually filmed it during like the previous year's parade. And it's a very sweet film. They released it in May. And they tried to hide the fact it was a Christmas movie. Because the studios thought, no one wants to see movies in the cold. They want to see it in the warm weather. Go out and see a movie.
Are they fucking idiots?
I mean, they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. It was the 40s.
The 40s.
Everyone in the 40s is a fucking idiot as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, it's a very good movie. It was nominated for Best Picture. It won 2 screenwriting awards. This is interesting. This is a little bit of interesting history. They're at different points early on, like through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and into like the mid-50s. They were changing around Oscars like categories left and right, and one of the weirder ones was the Original Story Award, not a screenplay award. Sometimes you would have Best Original Screenplay and Best Adapted Screenplay. Sometimes you would have just Best Screenplay, and sometimes you would have a Best Story Award. And that would it was very weird. And so this year there was a Best Screenplay Award and a Best Story Award. Original story. So, like, a story would sometimes mean best, like, film not based on anything. Like, oh, it's an original story written for the movies. And screenplay would just be whatever.
Huh.
Whether or not it's adapted, it could be original, it could be adapted. It was very strange.
Yeah.
And this won both best screenplay and best original story. It's
a lot of weird film history we're getting in this episode.
I think it's important. Yeah. I think it's
context.
Context. I don't know. Like, it's not important to the viewing of the film, but I think it's neat knowing these little tidbits of film history.
Yeah. Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
Best original story.
Natalie Wood.
Just Natalie Wood. Okay, that's what we're taking away. But that's Miracle on 34th Street. Very sweet.
Okay.
Classic Christmas movie. I like it a lot.
Okay.
Obviously, it's in my top 500.
Yes.
And to round out today's episode, my number 449, director David Cronenberg's 2005 film, A History of Violence.
Whew, okay.
Have you seen this?
Don't even know anything about it.
Stars Viggo Mortensen, Ed Harris, William Hurt. Great cast.
Yep.
You know David Cronenberg.
I immediately think of the Rick and Morty reference. the Cronenberging the world. He made It. Not It.
No.
The Thing.
No.
Other things involve body horror.
Yes.
Okay.
He's best known for his early body horror stuff. The Fly. The Brood. Videodrome, Naked Lunch, a lot of really weird, twisted body horror stuff. A couple of which are on my list. I very much vibe with David Cronenberg. That's a scary thing to say. Don't worry, people. But I think he's a great filmmaker, and I like his work a lot. And this is probably my favorite one of his later films. Mm-hmm. He's made some good films.
Is this a horror film?
No. This is like a crime drama.
Oh, okay.
And he did a lot of that. Later on, most of his films actually, he kind of left horror behind and he focuses more. He's done quite a few crime dramas actually, and they're pretty good. This is my favorite one of those though. It's based on a comic book, but that doesn't really play into it at all. It's not a superhero comic book, and he apparently didn't even read the comic book. He just read the script and like I like it and decided I'm not even gonna read it. I don't want it to influence.
That's interesting.
My filmmaking, because I don't want it to influence my framing, try to like visually match or anything. I see the script and I want to base my movie on the words.
Gotta say, Bryce. So first off, I can't watch Toy Story 2.
No, you cannot.
This is upsetting. Every time there's one I've already seen, I'm always upset by that. And for a Miracle on 43rd, 36th,
34th.
34th. Miracle on 34th Street. I think the reason I'm leaning away from it, as soon as you said it, as soon as you explained it as a Christmas movie, I was like, this is not the context for Christmas. I'm not in a Christmas mood at all. So as soon as you said that, I was like, all right, whatever the third one is, I'm probably going to lean to it. And then when you said it and I knew nothing about it, except for the director and like Ed Harris, I was like, you know what? Probably going to pick that one. So I think that's what's happening.
That's probably what's going to happen. That's fair. Viggo Mortensen, the lead.
I kind of don't want to know anything about it.
I won't say anything. I'll just say you know Viggo Mortensen?
I do know Viggo Mortensen.
He said at some point, relatively recently, I mean, it's 2005, so I mean, it had to be relatively recent, that this is, he thinks, the best film he's been in.
He was in Rocky.
No.
2, 3, or 4.
No. Five? If he was, that's news to me.
7? He was in Creed 2.
I haven't seen the Creed films. Oh. I've heard the first one is very good. I want to see it.
Love the first one.
Yeah.
I'll let you borrow it. I have.
Okay.
You want to borrow?
We'll talk.
Okay. Can I watch Ed Harris?
Ed Harris is in this and you can watch it. You can watch William Hurt.
Okay. What's it called again?
A History of Violence. Okay. Actually, William Hurt, I think, was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this.
I would love to watch
it. An adapted screenplay. It's great. It's a good movie. I won't say anything more. Let's go watch director David Cronenberg's 2005 film, A History of Violence. So, Aaron.
Yes, Brooke.
Tell me about A History of Violence.
History of Violence is about a family man living in rural somewhere in America.
Yeah.
And is thrust in a violent situation, which then continues to thrust him into more violent situations. We come to realize that this man seems to have a lot of secrets, a lot of skeletons in his closet that his family is unaware of, and those skeletons are finally coming back to murder. The metaphor was going, and then I lost it. But basically, his past is coming to haunt him.
Sure.
And you don't know for a while there, you don't know what exactly his past is. You're not sure if you should believe the bad guys or him. And then eventually you're like, okay, well, yeah. Okay,
he does. Now I know what's going on.
Yeah. I'll start off with the things I did not like and then end on a positive note. Sloppy storytelling.
It's a little disjointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say sloppy storytelling. It feels low budget somehow.
I mean, it wasn't a big budget film, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane recently, which also feels like it probably was didn't need a huge budget. Mm-hmm. But there was something about the way it was filmed that felt cleaner. It was like smooth, sleek.
I think it's just a different style, really. Yeah, I actually really like David Cronenberg's style. He has a very distinctive feel to his films.
It feels 80s.
80s?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense. Most of his biggest films are from the 80s. That was sort of his golden era.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got a slightly older school style of filmmaking. Mm. A lot of wide-angled lenses. It feels a little Coen Brothers-esque to me, actually, in a few places. With the filming techniques used.
Right.
The way it looks and feels. But yeah, I agree. Sloppy story. I don't know if I'd say sloppy, but it feels clunky. A little disjointed.
Yeah.
It's like they're like vignettes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the movie kind of starts and stops.
Yes.
A little bit. And I remember that being probably my biggest personal problem with the film, is that it doesn't flow quite as well as I would like.
Yeah, I would agree. It doesn't have a very good flow to it, and it feels anticlimactic.
Mm.
There's all of this. I was excited. You saw in the beginning. I was like, "What is going on?" And then, as soon as spoilers, I don't think
spoilers for A History of Violence coming up.
As soon as the Ed Harris gang was killed, I was like, it immediately lost steam for me.
Oh yeah,
it was like, should that not have been the climax? Where are we gonna go now? So, like, the first time that he killed the people in the restaurant, I was invested because I was like, I thought they were going to be our main bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realized, like, okay, well, we're moving past this point, and the Ed Harris character came in and then he died, I was like, all right, well, then now I don't know where we're going with this. But I would say that after that point, I think that was a midpoint.
That was a little past midpoint. That was about 2/3 of the way through.
Okay, well then a little past midpoint was when it started to lose me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, I don't know what the point... It seems like there's a point of some kind that I don't understand. And it just felt... Nearing the end, it just didn't feel like it stuck the landing. And in the beginning, it really was gripping. It was fascinating. And then about halfway through, I was like, all right, I don't know.
I'm surprised because it's interesting. You're basically saying the same thing... just with a different tone about what worked and what didn't work at the beginning. Like, I don't know what's going on. This is exciting.
Yeah.
And then about 2/3, I don't know what's going on. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's... I think it's...
Like, where's it going to go? Where's this going?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Lost effect.
Mm.
Where in the beginning of Lost, you're like, what is the polar bear? What's going on? And then at a certain point, you're like, all right, you're going to need to give me real clear answers here because I don't know what's going on. I don't know why we're doing the things we're doing. And not in an engaging way, in a meandering way.
Yeah, well, I feel like most people liked Lost, at least for the first few seasons.
Yeah.
You did not.
No, and no. I still watched all of it.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that.
I don't either. No, I mean, I feel like many, I won't say most, but I'd say many people, because, I mean, it was a very popular show, so I would say, yeah, many, if not most people, were at least engaged for the first four seasons.
And that was pretty quickly, and I think, like, the first season, I was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, no, I first three seasons for me, I think great television. I was riveted week to week. I think you kind of missed out on that because you watched it after the fact.
I watched
just kind of like kind of binge watched it, I imagine.
Yeah. It's a different experience when you're doing it communally.
It really is. Like, that was the water cooler show. I imagine you could imagine that.
Breaking Bad,
sure. Like, every week, like, what's going to happen next? And you talk to everybody else, all your friends that watch it. Lost was a very, very good show for that.
I believe it.
Okay, but we're getting off topic here.
Basically, those are the bad. Is that it felt a little meandering. It felt kind of clunky. But the good was that it was unique. I could not tell you what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Every step of the way, I was making guesses. And I think because I understand film, some of those were right. But that's purely because I watched a fair amount of movies.
Sure. Yeah, you were like 50-50.
Yeah.
You got some of it.
So I do respect their ability to subvert any sort of expectation I could have had. So that was cool. It felt like a less polished John Wick.
Whoa, okay.
And the fight scenes.
Sure.
It felt like, oh, this is an unstoppable man who's really good at what he does, but John Wick is just...
Well, John Wick was directed by stuntmen.
Yeah.
And this was directed by...
Old fat guy?
No, he's not fat.
Really?
Yeah.
I picture him fat for some reason.
He's actually quite lean. But weight doesn't have anything to do with it. Directed by a man who does not do action.
Right. I can see that.
So, I mean, the action, I think, was effective. It was simple. It was straightforward.
Visceral.
But yeah, like, there were a few moments where, like, a flinch-worthy moments. Like, oh,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
That guy's jaw is...
gone.
It's just gone.
It's disintegrated.
You can see a little bit of his horror roots slipping through with some of the violence.
Yeah. Some of that stuff, I was like, yeah, this is a Cronenberg thing.
And this is your first Cronenberg movie.
Is it?
Have you seen The Fly?
No.
Then yeah, this is probably your first Cronenberg film.
I thought he did, not It, the Alien, the alien that comes in Alaska.
The Thing, you said that earlier, and
yeah,
I said no.
That's not him?
No, that's John Carpenter.
Well, either way. it was... I very much appreciated the film. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed the first half. Second half, wasn't interested all that much, but I just had a level of respect for it, of what it was. I think that's kind of how I feel about it. I highly respect this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say, like, if you were to make me rewatch any of the stuff we've already watched, probably Near Dark.
Is that episode one?
The
first movie
one?
We watched?
I think it was because it just leaned into what it was. I just appreciated that. But if you were to get a list of all the films that we've watched and you were to make me rewatch them, like, later down the road, this would be in that category.
It would be rewatchable?
Yeah, rewatchable. Knowing where it's going to go, it would change the context for me, mm-hmm, and allow me to let whatever's happening happen.
It's an engaging rewatch, knowing where it goes. You know, some films benefit from multiple viewings. I think this one does, at least for two viewings.
Yeah.
This is probably my third or fourth. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah.
Would it be higher or lower on your stay?
Yeah, I did say that. I don't know if I did. I say it during the recording that I might reevaluate this. I feel like it's in a pretty good placement, actually.
Yeah. Actually, this is a perfect place for this film.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it starts stronger than it ends.
Mm.
Though I do not dislike the ending. I quite like William Hurt's performance as the brother Richie.
That was, the performances were all fine. It was just strange. It was just like, what? Oh, all right. I guess he has a brother now.
Cool. Well, they said it in the beginning that he has a brother, Richie.
Oh,
he has a brother. He's a big mob boss.
Yeah,
they mention it two or three times.
Oh, well.
And then Ed Harris is like, "Gotta take you back to your brother, Richie."
That's right. That's true.
They mention it a few times.
There was just something about it that was awkward.
Hmm. I didn't get that because, yeah, like, he calls him up on the phone, like, "Oh, this is Richie." Like, that's...
I'm sure you could feel when I was not losing engagement. I was engaged because I want to know what happens at the end, but. In the very beginning, I was fucking hyped.
You were riveted.
I was super excited. And especially because the first scene was... I think what it was the first scene was done very smart.
Yes.
This is a
following spoiler. The two...
Yeah, following those two and gangsters. Not knowing what's happening, then realizing, like, okay, well, they've killed people. And then when there's a kid involved and then they kill the kid, I was like, oh, okay. Well.
All bets are off.
Yeah, we have set the tone here. These guys are monsters, and they will do anything. They'll kill anybody. And so because they set that tone up, right afterwards, they were doing a lot of that slow build-up And I didn't mind that. I
think a little day in the life following this. Yeah, this just happy, following this guy. Family.
Yeah, and it set him up as mild-mannered, mm-hmm. which I liked because I wasn't expecting it to go where it went. So the way they had set up that first scene is what... It was a great hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it wasn't for that hook, I would have been completely uninvested. If it skipped that part and it just...
Wait. Most films, you know, they have some kind of hook,
yeah.
And but this one was particularly effective.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say overall, I respected and appreciated the film. I enjoyed it more than The Hospital. Like, I think I even said that The Hospital I respected.
Yeah,
but it's a different type. It's a more enjoyable respect. Mm.
What did you think of the different performances? Because there's quite a few actors in this film. There's quite a... It's a rather large cast.
I did not like the daughter.
No, you don't like kid actors, generally speaking.
Generally do not like them, no. Didn't like the daughter.
Who luckily only has like 5 lines. Yeah, You're okay. You'll be okay.
When she grabbed the plate, I was like, bitch.
She didn't say anything.
I know, but you could tell, even in her blocking, it was like... Then I pick up the plate and I move this slowly.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, whatever.
It is very sweet.
I liked the son, but I didn't like what they did with him,
because
they didn't do any, like...
He's a sensitive boy, isn't prone to violence, who becomes prone to violence, influenced by his father, takes it to an extreme,
yeah,
is shattered by it.
I guess. I see all of that, but it felt like...
But they didn't do anything with him.
No, but it just felt... There was just something about the film that was off. Mm. Like, everything was just a little off-center, and I think it was meant to be that way.
Cronenberg is an interesting filmmaker.
Yeah.
He kind of revels in making the audience feel kind of awkward in their own skin.
Yeah.
Like, this is odd.
Yeah.
And maybe even a little confusing, but he likes making the audience, like, just kind of feel
weird.
Not at ease.
Yeah. Bill, yeah. He did his job. The bully was hilarious.
What a great bully.
Yes. Is a great 80s bully for 2005.
Yeah.
He was just... Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Got the hair that was foofed back and angry for no reason at everything.
He cut the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were saying faggot a lot, which I didn't know was a thing that we did in 2005, but thinking about it.
Yeah,
it was a thing.
It was a thing that we did, Aaron.
Yeah.
We did that all the time.
I said it a lot.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But the 2005 was early high school, late middle, yeah.
Early high school, yeah, like freshman year for us.
Freshman year of high school and then middle school, yeah, I said it. And then mid high school, I stopped, but that's a whole other thing.
Don't add us.
What?
Don't add us.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Yeah. It's something people
don't get
say.
Mad. Don't get mad at us.
Yeah. I don't.
Viggo was great.
Viggo was great.
Yeah.
Okay, we got. And the wife, before we move on to the gangsters.
Good.
I think she does a good job. They had great chemistry.
They had really good, likable chemistry.
Yeah, and believable when things kind of started falling apart as well. They worked well together. And then we got sort of the three vignettes of gangsters. We had our opening two guys, who I thought were
great,
very monstrous and appropriately terrifying.
Yeah.
We had Ed Harris and his little
gang.
Entourage. Mm-hmm. Mostly Ed Harris.
Yeah. I would say, and then Richie.
And then, William Hurt.
My favorites were the first guys,
mm-hmm.
because they felt the other two felt too high up on the ladder.
Sure.
And they felt like too dignified. These guys seemed like monsters.
Low level, just thugs.
Yeah, just
like sociopathic. Thugs.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't even know. The vibe I got was like they weren't even there to steal money, were they?
Yeah, like they were. We're broke. We can change that.
That's true. But it seemed like they were just gonna kill everybody. They got enjoyment out of it.
I get that vibe too.
Yeah.
When they were leaving the motel in the first scene, like, I'm gonna check out.
Yeah.
And he just kills the guy at the front desk and the maid.
It's crazy. So I would say I like them the most. I like them the most, and I like Ed Harris. And Ed Harris is just a great actor, and that was a nice, interesting character. And I know that I've seen Ed Harris in other stuff,
mm-hmm.
so comparing the two, I was like, oh, wow, this is a completely different character. So I like Ed Harris and his goons. And then Richie, I was like, all right.
Oh, see, I really liked Richie.
He's fine.
It's fine. Okay.
He's fine.
He was nominated for an Oscar for this.
Why?
because he does a good job.
Okay.
So I
think my main issue with it is the storytelling.
Sure. Disjointed, yeah. Kind of lopsided, bloop, 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 bloop.
And it seemed, and it also seemed like that was the intention. It seemed like he was doing something on purpose.
He's a very intentional filmmaker, yeah.
So I just have a lot of respect for the vision. I can tell that this came from an artist. Like, when you watch movies nowadays, when you watch, like, those franchise films, as much as I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whatever, it does have this air of CEO, businessman.
This is a product.
Yeah, this feels like a product. It's like I'm being sold toys.
Mm-hmm.
But this felt like a person who wanted to tell a story, and he told it in the way he wanted to tell it, and he was incredibly effective the first half for me, and then the second half was like, it just wasn't my cup of tea, but I could tell he did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So right. That's how I feel about it.
A little bit of tidbit before we end this. This is the first Hollywood, like, studio film. Did I say first?
Yes.
I meant to say last. This is the last Hollywood studio film to be released on VHS.
Really?
Yep. Last film.
Huh.
To get a VHS release.
Nice.
Yeah.
Little tidbits. As far as people, whether I would recommend it to people.
Give it to us.
Again, if you're a mainstream popcorn munching Transformers loving film goer, movie goer, you wouldn't like it, I don't think.
I think we can cut away from the
Transformers.
No, it's just like there's not just two types of film goers.
Let me. I will rephrase. If you like John Wick but slower and boring, no.
If your enjoyment of John Wick is about the level of enjoyment you get from, like, The Godfather, and you like them both, maybe
that's actually
a
really good mix. The Godfather mixed with John Wick. That's a real, yeah. That's
kind of a 50-50 split between those two. If you dig both of those,
yes.
Give this a shot.
But then it would be watered down into a less good film comparatively. To The Godfather and John Wick, those are amazing films to me.
Oh, you like John Wick? You like The Godfather?
I love both of those
movies. You like those movies?
Fuck you, Bryce.
Gross. I don't like those movies.
If those movies came together but got watered down a little bit, just a little bit. That would, to me, would be...
Well, it is. It's its own beast.
Yeah.
It's a little of this, a little of that. It's its own thing. You might not like it as much. You might like it more. I'm sure there's someone out there who's like, this is... That's just going to connect with them.
I would say watch it. Watch it. Like,
it's a good movie.
It's good. It's a good movie. And you'll... Knowing what we've just said, I think going in knowing, like, the second half... If you're anything like me, the second half is going to be a little harder to enjoy. But that first half just kills it.
I, for the most part, I agree, and I'm glad you dug it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to keep going down this rabbit hole with you.
As am I, Bryce.
Or are we ascending from the bottom of the rabbit hole?
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
We are here.
Yeah.
Are you trying to do something?
I was going to say something, and then it just didn't work. My mouth broke for a second there. Or brain hole, one other time.
Well, until next
time. Yeah, until next time, Bryce.